This is Exclusivia.
Renowned exercise physiologist Dr. Niels Vollard shares how they questioned the amount of exercise that was typically recommended for fitness. He also shares how high-intensity training works from an evolutionary standpoint.
So all the research looking at high-intensity interval training and sprint interval training makes use of protocols that usually have, well, 6 30-second sprints all out or 10 1-minute sprints at a slightly lower intensity. And there's no reason for that. It's all based on the first people who did these protocols, and they just seem to have picked a number of sprint repetitions and a sprint duration out of thin air, just thinking, that might work, done it, showed that it does indeed work quite well, and then everyone's followed their protocol. But these protocols are really, really hard. If you do 6 30-second all-out sprints, then you're absolutely knackered. And there's no way that people in the general public who currently don't do enough exercise would do protocols like that just to get fitter or healthier. But we started thinking about that. So, well, why do we need to do 6 repetitions or 10 repetitions, and why 30-second sprints or 1-minute sprints? There didn't seem to be any reason for it. So we started looking at the mechanisms. Why does the body adapt to these sprints? And we eventually hypothesized that it's something to do with the sugar stores in your muscle. The term for that is glycogen. It's basically just sugar stored in your muscle, and that's actually a good thing. It's not like fat reserves where a lot of people have too much of it. You need those sugar stores in your muscle. Evolutionary, if you think back of what that sugar was stored there for, it's for fight and flight. If, say, 100,000 years ago, you were hunting or you were attacked by a bear, then you had to provide lots of energy to the muscle really quickly to be able to run away or fight. And you can't do that with fat stores that have to be transported through the bloodstream all the way to your muscle. That takes too long. So there was an energy store that's in the muscle. You can break that down really quickly and provide all that energy that you need. So that's really handy, but we don't really need that anymore at the moment, because we don't have a fight and flight type situation anymore. We don't get attacked by bears, basically. But we still have that muscle glycogen there. And the only way to make that turn over, to break it down and build it up again, is to do high intensity exercise. Basically something that's pretty tough, short sprints, brief bursts of exercise. And that's exactly what these sprints do. And I won't go into too much detail, but we know that if you break down muscle glycogen, that you release certain signaling molecules that are important for causing adaptations. And that happens when you do these sprints. And that happens, say, within 15 seconds of an all-out sprint. Or it happens when you do really long duration exercise, but then it takes much longer. It takes a good 45 minutes of jogging to get the same amount of muscle glycogen breakdown compared to a 15-second all-out sprint. That's where you start getting into the details about how can you get adaptations that are as good as with longer exercise with these really brief sprints. Well, it's because you break down that muscle glycogen really quickly. You do that with 6 30-second sprints, no doubt. You break down a lot of muscle glycogen, and therefore these longer protocols are effective, in our opinion. But we also know that you stop breaking down all that muscle glycogen after 1 or 2 sprints. And again, think back evolutionary in the past. So if you would run away from a bear and you break down lots of glycogen, you didn't want to break down all your glycogen, because then the next time it would happen, you wouldn't be able to run away so fast. So you break down a lot, but definitely not everything. So it stops after 1 or 2 sprints. So if you do these longer protocols with 6 repeated sprints, then you're basically just making yourself really tired. You probably get the full stimulus after 1 or 2 sprints, and all the other sprints are just keep on going, and you get more and more tired, and it's not really doing anything to make you fitter or healthier. That was our theory, and we've been testing that for the past 10 years or so, and it seems to be correct. If you do a couple of sprints, then you get the full benefit. You can also make them a bit shorter than 30 seconds, so 20 seconds seems to be optimal. So 2 20 seconds all-out sprints, it's not a lot, it's very brief. The sprints are tough, they're all out, so of course you get tired doing the sprints, but because they're very short, you recover really quickly. You need a few minutes of pedaling on the bike, very easy pedaling to recover, but by the end of the training session, most people are happy to just hop off and continue what they're doing, while whistling a tune. It's not super strenuous. Well, the moderate exercise, there's been hundreds or thousands of studies. That's basically the bread and butter of exercise physiologists, is to look at the health benefits of exercise and moderate intensity exercise. That's what's usually been looked at, and we've been looking at that for 100 years. And we know, okay, well, that gives you all the health benefits that you need. This high-intensity interval training is a bit more recent. It's been done for 10, 15 years or so. That started off looking at exercise on the bike, and all our studies have been done on the bike. There are some other groups, one of them in Canada, and they've checked, well, can you also do this if you run, for example? And the tricky bit then is that we are looking at the highest intensities that people can possibly achieve, and that's actually really difficult if you don't have a specialized bike. So the Carol bike is one that can do this. We have specialized research bikes that can enable people to get those really high intensities. But you'd never be able to do it on a gym bike, so you would probably not be able to do this running outside either or on a trap. Your legs probably wouldn't be able to move quick enough. The only way that you could do it without a bike is to run uphill. If you run uphill or upstairs, then if you do that as fast as you can, then you can get really, really high exercise intensities. And that seems to work. The reason why we don't recommend people to do this running is because it's dangerous. If you run upstairs as fast as you can, then you do that three times per week. Eventually, you're going to trip and fall over and hurt your legs, or you push someone off the stairs, or probably not the safest thing to do when you do something at a very high intensity. The other thing is that it's not very good for your joints, especially if you're not very fit to start with. Then running will give a lot of pounding on the joints every time you take these steps. That's a big impact. So you might get injuries doing that. Whereas on a bike, it's a cyclical movement, so you don't have any impact there. So even if you're overweight and your joints are not very good, then generally this won't be much of a problem at all.